Just when you thought airlines and cable companies could do no worse, American consumers say the federal government is even worse when it comes to customer service. That's according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index. The Partnership for Public Service and Accenture say in a report this morning that agencies should work together if they want to get better at all of this. Chris Zinnier is Managing Director at Accenture Federal Services. He joins me now. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So there's a couple of reports here coming out, one from the people that measure whether people are satisfied or not, and then your advice for the federal government, you and the Partnership for Public Service. But I think the telling statement here is citizen satisfaction with government services is low and declining. What happened? Because it was going up for a while there over the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that if you think about citizens' expectations, every day they deal with the government, that expectation of the level of service that the government should provide is really driven by the experiences they have with their commercial service providers, with their cable companies, with airlines. Well, not those examples, but even and better commercial examples. They've come to expect the ability to access services anytime, anywhere, and be really receive tailored and personalized experiences from these commercial service providers. And often when you have that expectation and then you come to the government who have not continued to invest in customer service at the rate that their commercial corollaries have, there's a gap in that expectation. And I think that American Customer Satisfaction Index focuses on understanding the gap between the customer's expectations and the ideal. So that I think it really comes down to an expectation gap, Tom.
It might be useful to know where the Customer Satisfaction Index comes from. It's not a survey of people talking about it, but it's based on what they click on those little pop-up surveys when they're at federal sites.
Yes. So the American Customer Satisfaction Index is a nonprofit that measures customer satisfaction not just in the federal government but across commercial companies as well. It originated out of the University of Michigan, and the company 4C is probably the most popular company that has delivered a online customer survey that most federal agencies have integrated into their website. And it really comes down to the three core questions. That is, you know, what is your overall customer satisfaction with this particular service? How does that compare to your expectations, and how does that compare to the ideal? Oftentimes we see these pop-ups on website, but American Customer Satisfaction Index actually solicits feedback not just on websites. They have techniques to do so in call centers and regional offices that provide face-to-face customer interactions as well.
All right, give us some reference points here. Like who in the commercial world gets the highest satisfaction? And where does government compare on average, federal government compare on average to who's the best that they measure?
Yeah, so I think the shining example in the commercial world is a company you may have heard of called USAA. They're a multi-product financial services company that deals with...
That's the one with the corny ads on television.
There's many corny ads on television, but USAA, they serve the military community. So if you're a active duty military or veteran and you are seeking either insurance or banking services or life insurance, et cetera, this company provides that for military and their family. They are often lifted up as the shining example, the highest American customer satisfaction index across every industry. They have the highest net promoter score, which is a simple mechanism where you ask your customers, how likely are you to recommend our service to someone else? So that's the example. What's interesting is that USAA serves many of the same constituents that the federal government does. And so, again, going back to that expectation gap, when citizens who are members of USAA and companies like that receive outstanding service that's personalized, that's available, you know, 24/7, online, and really is tailored to meet their specific need, and then they go to the federal government to receive a similar service, they have that expectation. And when that expectation is not met, that's what's driving customer frustration.
But wouldn't a better comparison be, say, if this company's very good at this, they do one thing, and that's offer and to sell insurance and then service accounts of people that have insurance with them. Wouldn't it be a better example to say, well, how does Social Security alone do? Because they have basically one function, which is to deliver one of any three or four sets of benefits. the people that come back over and over again that would receive these over the long term. So is it really fair to compare the total federal government with a company that does one thing really, really well?
Well, that's great. That's a great point. And I think you brought up a particular dimension that's different. So the federal government, you don't interact with them often, as often or frequently as you do a lot of your commercial service providers. Your bank, you either interact with, you know, probably weekly, sometimes daily, online, over the phone, in person, et cetera. To your point, the federal government does not have the opportunity to interact with you quite as frequently. An agency like Social Security Administration, you may interact with them to set up your initial account and line up your benefits, and occasionally if you have trouble or there's a change in your situation, you may interact with them. So that does prevent or create challenges in the government's ability to create that ongoing relationship with you. And really that's another driver of customer satisfaction is the ability for the organization who's providing that service to know you, understand your history with them, understand the products and services that you consume from them, and then to tailor the interactions accordingly to provide that best experience. So you're right, it's not a fair comparison, but the American Customer Satisfaction Index has been around for quite some time and essentially established a system that says at the end of the day, perception is reality. So what is your expectation what is your perception compared to your expectation or the ideal? And right, wrong, or indifferent, the customer satisfaction in the government is declining, and it really is time. And this report that we worked with the Partnership for Public Service really did look at what are the strategies that agencies can embrace to restore that customer confidence, that citizen in the citizen, and provide better customer service.
We're speaking with Chris Zinner. He's managing director at Accenture Federal Services. And so what are some of the strategies that you're recommending the government pursue here?
So thank you for the opportunity to share some of those. First, let me just say, I think this report was really exciting in the sense that it shines some light on some very promising examples of federal initiatives that are already in place, that are working across organizational boundaries to implement a customer-centered approach to digital services. So if you think about the federal government, across departments or even within a department, and there are lots of organizational boundaries. As the government has expanded, matured over time, and created new programs, they've created essentially new silos. And oftentimes the burden has fallen onto the citizen to understand and navigate those silos in order to obtain the service they need or simply get a question answered. And so what we're seeing as we were working with our clients was a trend that there are some pioneering efforts out there where federal leaders had recognized that it's time to bring the burden back and to really create systems and processes where there's a no wrong door attitude that recognizes that no matter where the customer comes in your organization, they should be able to get the answer to the question or to the service they need. And what we did is we looked at some of the examples of where people have put on digital front doors, if you will, concierge services that solicit feedback from customers. I'm sorry, solicit needs from customers and then direct them to the right resources, or similar digital techniques to essentially provide that kind of facade, if you will, of even though there's lots of organizational silos, we are one agency. We're taking this one federal government approach and trying to serve you in the way that you want to be served. So that was the overall kind of theme of the report.
Because besides silos, they also have cul-de-sacs a lot in federal sites. Ah. Just this morning, I went from one department to its IG, its Inspector General site, and there's no way back except ultimately typing in the original agency's address or going to the history in your browser and getting back. So that's kind of a problem, too. People go down a lane that they can't back out of.
Yeah, so, and I think that underscores one of the key strategies we found in the report, which is the need to regularly collect customer feedback and improve your digital services. Successful digital services, and this is also very much in line with the digital services playbook that just came out a couple weeks ago from the White House, which is to do customer-centric development and design and development of customer-facing systems. So taking an agile approach, so instead of taking a radical departure from traditional business as usual of doing a big bang delivery and deployment of a customer-facing system and waiting potentially months or years until it's completely ready and then deploying it, a lot of federal leaders now are taking a more of an agile approach, where they're essentially building this basic functional system, putting it out into the marketplace, letting citizens or customers interact with that, provide feedback, and then use that feedback to quickly iterate and deploy a new version of the system. So this is really ensures that from the very beginning, you're embracing customers and understanding their needs and expectations and building to those iteratively over time.
And I guess that gets complicated when you consider consumer-type users, say a veteran going to Veterans Affairs versus, say, a medical practitioner who needs something from VA. And another example that's come up recently is the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. They blew up their site and took a totally new approach a couple of years ago, but the traditional professional users of it couldn't find what they wanted anymore, even though it was easier for consumers who really don't do much with the FCC.
Yeah, no, that's important. So recognizing that not all customers are equal, right? That taking a segmented approach to your customers and understanding the unique needs, wants, and intentions of each of those segments. So one of the agencies I'm working with today focuses on casual users who come to their website to get individual statistics or pieces of data. And then there are more sophisticated or expert users who come to their site potentially every day or at least weekly and rely on their data for their job. And the experience you want to deliver to those more expert users is radically different. So putting in mechanisms like user portals, and one of the examples that we uncovered that's very promising in the report, but still very, very early, is myusa.gov, which is a user portal where you can log into to really serve as a mechanism to communicate with not just the GSA, but all different parts of the federal government. And so the concept is that if you can deploy these user portals where people can tailor the experience themselves, we're all conditioned by using Yahoo and Google of having customizable widgets and layouts on our homepage that we can essentially dictate our experience. That's the vision that the federal government wants to move to as well, is saying that recognizing that not all customers have the same needs, and to some extent, we'll never be able to predict 100% of everyone's individual needs, so why not put the power into the customer's hands and allow them to configure their own experience?
I think in citing USA.gov to you also imply or infer that this is not a static effort. It's something you can't set and forget, because I think USA.gov itself launched during the first George W. Bush administration, right?
Well, yes, it did. And so there's USA.gov, which has been highly successful. But I think one of the things that we focused on in the report is a future-oriented effort that the GSA is leading up, which is the MyUSA.gov, which is essentially the same version of the website, but more where you log in and you have this portal where you can communicate to and interact with various agencies in the federal government. So in the same way that you can use your Facebook or Gmail account to log in to commercial websites, and they'll take the information that Facebook sends that website to deliver that personalized experience, that's the vision behind MyUSA.gov. It's in what's called an OAuth service provider. You can use that username and login not only to log into that portal, but over time, other agencies who come on board, you'll be able to use that same username and password to log into other portals. And not only is it a benefit so that the citizen and customer does not have to maintain multiple passwords and usernames, et cetera, but they're going a step beyond that. They're looking at how do you leverage APIs or web services to let these various government portals communicate with one another. So, for example, if I am a retired veteran and I have to interact with the e-benefits portal from the VBA and myssa.gov portal from Social Security Administration, not only would I have a single username and password to access both of those portals, but when I apply for benefits, for example, and the status of those benefit applications change, notifications can be sent from those portals back to myusa.gov. So the vision is that over time, as more and more agencies come on board and integrate their portals with myusa.gov, this becomes that central place for me to have a dashboard, if you will, of all my interactions with the government and their statuses in a single place to integrate. So it really, again, is a bold example, a very pioneering example that is shifting the burden away from the customer, away from the citizen to have to understand and navigate the complex organizational structures of the government and really just come to one place. simplifying that customer experience.
And just update us very briefly on the cookie question, because I think that's been – is it true that that's been solved? The government has decided it can maintain cookies for people?
For first-party cookies, that's absolutely correct. So a first-party cookie is when the federal government puts a cookie onto your browser so that they can, number one, measure and collect feedback, collect your behavioral feedback on what you're doing on their website so they can optimize that service for you in the future, but also recognize when you come back so they can provide that tailored experience. I mean, I'd say 99 or 100% of commercial websites that you go to place a cookie on your hard drive because they want to deliver that personalized experience. When you come back to their website, they want to recognize you, potentially give you a list of previously visited pages, or serve up content that they know that you are probably or likely interested in based on your previous behavior with them. So the government wants, if the government's expected to deliver that same tailored and personalized service, then we need to work through the bureaucracies of enabling them to do so. So that problem has been solved. I think the word cookie still has a negative connotation, and that's largely comes from third-party cookies, which is a lot of retailers use for advertising purposes, so that if you buy a pair of shoes on one website, every other retailing website you'll go to in the future will present an ad of that exact same pair of shoes. And that's obviously not only creepy to some users, but it's not something that the federal government is interested in.
It happens all the time. Let's hope the big screen store doesn't get in on there, too.
Exactly.
Chris Zinner is Managing Director at Accenture Federal Services. A fascinating report, and we thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Tom.